This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
New details today about what people should do with their 6 ounces of scrap, known as the Samsung Galaxy Note 7 phone. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. Samsung Electronics today chopped by a third its profit forecast for this quarter with the mounting costs of its decision to permanently take its flagship smartphone off the market. More than 1.5 million Galaxy Note 7s are out there, phones found to be prone to catching fire. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein is here with next steps for consumers. Dan?
For people who purchase the Galaxy Note 7 or have the replacement, the first step is to power the phone down ASAP. On its website, Samsung suggests consumers can exchange their Note 7s for other Samsung phones, which are safe, and they'd get a $25 gift card too. Or if you're just done with these guys, the company says people should get in touch with the retailer where they purchased the phone to get a refund. Samsung lists contacts for mobile carriers including T-Mobile, AT&T, Sprint, and Verizon, as well as Best Buy. People who bought the phone off Samsung's website are reportedly being shipped fire-resistant containers to send them back. Despite these steps, some crisis management and consumer advocates criticize the company for being slow to post recall details on social media networks, given the safety threat of a phone catching fire.
Dan, thank you. Now, of all the things that retail giant Amazon might want to disrupt, what about the bodega, the corner store? The Wall Street Journal recently reported that Amazon is interested in putting up convenience stores, but they might be members only. You'd have to be enrolled in Amazon's same-day delivery subscription service to get in. Marketplace's Annie Baxter looked into this.
Amazon's convenience store concept would reportedly have perishable items like milk and produce to grab on the fly, and it would be open to members of its service Fresh, which costs $15 a month on top of the $99 Amazon Prime annual fee. Spencer Ware with the consulting firm Alex Partners says Amazon is known for its strong management of supply chains and inventories, but he says perishables do present unique challenges.
It's not like a lot of their online ordering where, you know, a sweater or a piece of electronics has very long shelf life.
Why expand grocery? Retail consultant Bert Flickinger says the typical family spends $5,500 a year on groceries, and he says Amazon could capture a greater share of that.
And at the same time, convert people over to Amazon Prime for everything from books to consumer electronics, accessories, apparel.
He says that could dramatically increase how much people spend through Amazon Prime overall. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers here. My live screens tell me the FTSE in London is down 0.3%. Dow and S&P futures are down about 0.2% each, as if the Dow were down 28 points. The 10-year Treasury yield as a benchmark of interest rates is up at 1.78%. Ahead of the presidential election, we've been exploring author and social critic Kurt Vonnegut's idea to appoint a secretary of the future to the cabinet. What would be the purview? Future of jobs, or maybe the food supply? Well, what about your local Department of Motor Vehicles, perhaps second only to state prison on your list of fun places to hang out? With self-driving cars apparently in our future, what about the DMV? Sally Herships got the assignment.
Oh, Department of Motor Vehicles. When it comes to government agencies, they are right up there with the IRS, not the most popular. But know that DMVs around the country have been working away on how to handle the future.
And it really all started back at 9/11.
Jenny Openshaw is with Morpho Trust USA. The company sells technology to help verify identity. She says 9/11 is when people realized how easy it was for bad guys to get IDs in the form of driver's licenses.
So the driver's license has become the de facto national ID card. It's what you use when you get on an airplane.
Which is why Openshaw says DMVs are working on new technology to make our identities more secure, like mobile licenses that would live on our phones. The Obama White House even created a project, the National Strategy for Trusted Identities in Cyberspace, to help work on the issue. But the future isn't all high tech.
So we really want to be, sort of the DOC, not the DMV. We want to be the Department of Credentials.
Rick Holcomb is commissioner of Virginia's DMV. He says he wants state residents to be able to do more than just get their license or tags at the DMV. So the Virginia DMV partnered with the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries.
If you walk into one of their offices and you say, hey, I'm here to title my boat, well, would you like to go ahead and do your DMV transaction while you're here?
In Virginia, you can now get a death certificate, marriage, or divorce certificate at the DMV. Holcomb says it's all about customer convenience. But DMVs still have that reputation to grapple with, like in the movie Zootopia, when one of the characters finds out the DMV is staffed entirely by sloths.
We are in a really big hurry.
What's the plate?
29T...
Number.
29THD03.
You do need to understand, their work task is actually pretty hard.
Mark Fagan teaches public policy at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. He says just in California alone, the DMV handles 76 million transactions a year.
Yeah, it's easy to mess up when you're doing 76 million transactions.
Fagan says states need to know what vehicles are on the road and who's driving them, and that's not likely to change. But one day, if we have fewer drivers, we may see government offices consolidating. Just imagine paying your taxes and getting your license at the same time. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Now a short lesson in what in business school they call vertical integration, that is having a hand in production to distribution to selling to final consumers. The news today is that a big shrimp exporter in Thailand is making a $575 million investment in the Red Lobster restaurant chain based in Florida. The wrinkle here is that Thai Union Group is the company caught buying from suppliers that used slave labor to peel the shrimp. After the Associated Press first reported this last year, Thai Union promised changes, but said the shrimp prepared by enslaved migrants was never sent to major U.S. companies like, for instance, Red Lobster. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.